Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Adam Hoag says,
Adam Hoag, Bears Insider.
What's up, everyone? My name's Adam Hoag. This is the CHGO Bears Podcast.
Host of the Hoag and Johns Podcast.
I've said this a few times. Ben Johnson does not seem like a first-time head coach. It's just like that's not the vibes that we've had with this coaching staff coming in.
Adam Hoag.
Adam Hoagie or Hoag? Excuse me, I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
On 670 The Score.
I'm glad that we kept the Adam Hoagie or Hoag in. That had to stay with the new open. You know who this man is. He's half of the Hoag and Johns podcast. We join him now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Is he also on Twitch? If he is, he's on twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. It is Adam Hoag from CHGO. He is on Twitch, and he has a fun background. Adam, it's good to talk to you.
Yes, you guys, as always, it feels like we've been waiting forever for this game, so let's please get to Monday if we can. It's the only time I ever want to skip a weekend, but I'm ready to skip a weekend.
Wow. Well,
first blush, what do you think of the injury report that came out yesterday?
It was kind of what I expected. I'm worried about the defense, though, I have to say. You know, the TJ Edwards thing was interesting. It happened last week. I don't know that any of us actually saw the injury. We just saw him all of a sudden walk off to the side in the wrong direction. Like the entire team was on the other sideline and he went over here and it's like, what's going on there? And then all of a sudden Andre Tucker, the trainer, followed him. And then after looking at him for a little bit, TJ kind of tossed his helmet and looked frustrated. And there they went off the field. And It didn't have a good vibe to it. So to now be here more than a week later and he is a DNP with what we now know as a hamstring, it's not great, but since we're off a day with the Monday Nighter, I do think we need to wait for today's injury report, see what he does today, possibly, if anything, before there's full-blown panic. But if he's not able to play Monday, that's a big deal. I think you're talking about, you know, needing to play Ruben Hippolyte, either, you know, just in what would be the base, but is basically now a sub package, so a third of the game or whatever it ends up being. Or does he become your weak side linebacker because of his speed? And now you got a rookie on the field a lot in this game. It's a little concerning.
Adam, I'm supremely concerned. When training camp started, I was so concerned about, hey, are they going to get to the quarterback? What's that defensive line really looking like? But now with this injury report and really how things have gone with the Jalen Johnson news, even Jaquan Brisker walking off the other day, although he's not on the injury report, good news. Kyler Gordon not on the injury report, good news. But now I'm wondering, what's the bigger problem, the secondary or the linebacker core? And the defensive line is just going to have to be what it is.
Yeah, I would say linebacker if Edwards it can't play. I would be more worried about the linebackers. And the reason for that is because at least we have seen some pretty good play from Nashawn Wright while Jalen Johnson's been out. Now, you can't replicate not having your number one corner. That's true. But the issue in the secondary is more the depth. I mean, losing Terrell Smith for the season, it's if another guy gets hurt. Now you're in, probably in a bad spot. But I think they can get by with Jalen Johnson, who seems like, you know, the fact that he's limited, I would say, is a sign that he's going to at least try to play and be out there. It's just, it might not be to the level of, can he shadow Justin Jefferson the whole game? Probably not. But the thing people need to realize, too, is when you have one guy shadow, the other corner, the number two corner, needs to be able to play on the field and the boundary. There's different responsibilities there. So that the fact that they haven't been able to practice that too throughout training camp just makes me question how realistic that really is, even beyond week one, quite frankly. And I would side towards Jalen Johnson's too important to this team. I don't like groin. They also put calf on there now. So on the injury report, so I get this guy healthy, even if you have to sit him, honestly, for a couple weeks, in my opinion.
Well, and the funny part is, and I guess it's not really funny, it's just the dire part of it is that he does make a difference so much, especially when you're considering what he could do to a rookie quarterback as well. Well, I say rookie. J.J. McCarthy is in his first real year of playing. You know, this is going to be a big test for McCarthy too on the other side. So when I consider that, I mean, you're talking about a major difference maker when you know that the Vikings won't have Jordan Addison either. You know, that's the part of this where it really does become a balance of risk reward. And again, you know, what's your division record going to look like, you know, if you take out a guy like Jalen, who could be a difference maker in the game's outcome, you know?
Yeah, and now I can spin some of this positively, though, and give some reasons for optimism. I mean, I think this puts a lot of importance on Dennis Allen to, like, problem solve, right? And that's your job as a defensive coordinator. I think there's a lot of things you can do. I mean, one, even if we might doubt it, Jaquan Brisker playing for all 17 games, he's not on the injury report for week one, and he will be out there. That's great news. He's a really, really good safety when he's out there playing and healthy, and they have him. So that's great. Let's not minimize that. Kyler Gordon. Like, I could tell you this coaching staff's really excited about the ways in which they can use Kyler Gordon. I don't think we've seen all those ways. Certainly didn't in the preseason, right? And he was dealing with his own stuff, but now he's healthy. So that's a big X factor in this game that I think that you can compensate for the loss of Jalen Johnson. Maybe he plays outside. They've talked about it. I mean, there's going to be wrinkles in this game from both defensive coordinators that we're not expecting. And I look at Kyler Gordon as one of those wrinkles, whether it's him blitzing, whether it's him playing outside. I mean, there's a number of possibilities here, and you can help your pass rush in ways like that. You can help your linebackers if you don't have TJ Edwards out there. So there's a lot of different things that you can still do as a coaching staff, as a coordinator, to especially when you're going up against a rookie quarterback and it's week one where they don't have the tape on you guys. I mean, there's going to be a lot of unscouted looks in this game, but the Vikings are going to see way more from the Bears than the Bears will see from the Vikings.
To your point, as we're joined by Adam Hoge here on the Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody show, Mark Grody being at House Hall. He's the host of the CHGO Bears and the Hoge and Johns podcast. Adam, offense, DeAndre Swift. I'm looking for extra doses of DeAndre Swift, and now I'm more curious about DJ Moore's role because of who's on the injury report from a running back standpoint.
Yeah, we did our Hogan Johns preview episode this morning, and I think it's dropping soon. But that was one of our over unders, was just how many carries DJ Moore gets in this game, and I think it was set at like a half, like basically do they use him or not? And I think they do. I think DJ Moore, despite what running back health, I think we've seen enough of that in training camp that it's something that you're going to see, maybe not every week, but this week they might need to utilize that. I think that that's going to be in a couple different ways. Like, you know, he starts outside in what looks like an empty formation, and then he comes back and all of a sudden he's the running back in the backfield. I think that's a possibility. I think it's a possibility to just have him line up like he's the running back from the very start and not have any shifting or motion going on there. And I think you could see both of those things, but I think it's going to be more of a wrinkle than anything that they truly have to rely on. I'm with you on DeAndre Swift. I am way more bullish on his possibilities with the Bears this season than I probably was, even before training camp started, because I do think he has, now again, it's practice, it's not a game, and it was only one preseason game for him, but he has, to me, shown the willingness with all this. Remember, all this live tackling they did was a departure of what we've seen in previous years and previous coaching staffs, and he didn't shy away from it. We saw him run physical. We saw him run between the tackles more than I thought he had a year ago. And if he's going to be willing to, take the running lanes that this coaching staff's drawing up for him, I think he had a big year. I think he had a really big year because he looks explosive. He looks fast. The biggest question I have that was a little bit disappointing in camp was it just seemed like every time Caleb was trying to throw to DeAndre Swift, not every time, but frequently when he was, you know, on swing passes or passes out of the backfield near the line of scrimmage, they weren't connecting a lot. And so you don't always know if that's on the quarterback or if that's on, you know, the angle that the running back's creating with the way he's releasing out of the backfield. But that's something that they got to figure out, because I think that's another area where Swift can be a huge advantage if they could just get him the ball in space.
No, I agree. This is Adam Hoge of the Hoge and Johns podcast. He's also on CHGO. Joining us, I'm Raheem Ian Harris with Mark Rohde on The Score. And Adam, I think I don't care how many times Caleb Williams has to throw in this game if the running back complement isn't there for DeAndre Swift. I'd love to see them run the ball a lot in this game, but if they have to do different things just because their availability is going to dictate it, I'm okay with that. But I feel like a big tool of Ben Johnson's offenses have been screen passes, like well executed, especially in early down situations. You know, second down, a good screen pass can often buy you the next first down. So I feel like that is a tool that has to be there for this team to be able to be functional on Monday.
Yeah, screen.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just easy completions, honestly. And I think that's the one, another thing we'll know pretty early on in this football game Monday night. You know, Caleb did not reach the 70% goal. It was a lofty goal, but that goal that they set for him in training camp, for a while there, he wasn't coming anywhere close. And then he actually finished pretty strong for my tracking and got decently close when you took out drops and all those types of things to the adjusted completion percentage. But, you know, they also weren't necessarily running things that were always easy completions. Now that you get to the game, you can game plan for that. You can take the chunk of plays here that you think will work for this specific week, and then your job, if you're Ben Johnson, is to make life easier on your quarterback. And, you know, it just, if you complete, I say this all the time, but sometimes we make football too complicated. If you're completing a pass, usually with some rare exceptions, that ball just moved forward. Even if it's only a couple yards, it didn't move backward. You didn't have a negative play. Now, there's certainly sometimes like you try to throw a screen and it gets sniffed out or whatever horizontally, and all of a sudden you lose 4 or 5 yards. But normally, if you complete the pass, the ball has moved in the right direction closer to the end zone. And that's ultimately what we're trying to do here, right, is score points. So if you can just avoid those negative plays by drawing up and executing easy completions, and sometimes, a lot of times, that's near the line of scrimmage, Ben Johnson's been really, really good at that. So hopefully Caleb can execute.
It is going to come down to execution, Adam. I as we get ready, as you said, want to fast forward past this weekend. Unfortunately, we cannot. We will enjoy the football along the way. But going into that Monday night game, what's your biggest curiosity about this team that remains?
Dio Dangbo.
That's a trigger word for me, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, but it is, because it's they need him. They need him. And I'll throw Montez in there too, right? So Montez Sweat, I guess it's a two-part answer to your question, but it's the simpler answer is pass rush, right? So Montez Sweat got here 2 years ago and looked unbelievably dominant, looked like a great trade, and then last year he was battling some things and was not the same player. If he reverts back to the guy we saw 2 years ago when he got here, that's the Bears need that. And it's, I don't want to even say, oh, that's good for the Bears. No, they actually need that. It's crucial. But also they paid Dio Odengbo with the promise that he was going to, his best football was ahead of him, because they didn't pay him for past performance. It's the rare signing where you're actually paying him for future performance, because you're kind of projecting out, you're looking at his tape, you feel like he's a good fit in this scheme. And we just did not see enough of him in camp to back that up. Now it's camp, so sometimes this works both ways. Sometimes guy's a great camp and, oh no, an hour in the regular season, it's full speed and he regresses. Other times it's dudes just don't shine that much in August, and then they show up, and all of a sudden they're a good player come the regular season. Well, the Bears got to hope that that's the case with Dio Dangbo. I'm just really curious how much pressure that they can create Monday night. And by the way, we talked injuries, we talked Bears injuries, but Christian Darrisaw coming off his knee, there's a chance he doesn't play, that because the Vikings are conservative a lot of times when it comes to guys coming off big injuries. They could hold him out in the same way I just made the case that maybe the Bears should hold Jalen Johnson out. And if they do that, then that could open up a good favorable matchup for Montez Sweat on that left side of the Vikings offensive line.
Yeah, that's the part of this where I feel like, for all we've talked about in the linebackers in the secondary, Adam, you're hoping the defensive line really does some fun stuff. And by fun, I mean get to the quarterback. Yeah. That I feel like that becomes even more crucial at this time.
Well, and it's speed up to the rookie quarterback, right? So from everything I've heard about J.J. McCarthy, it doesn't surprise me at all based on what I saw at Michigan. He knows the system. Remember, even though he's people keep accidentally calling him a rookie, and he will be making his first NFL start on Monday, but he's not a rookie. He sat in this offense all last year and learned it. And that's a huge advantage that he has over Caleb Williams, who had to completely learn a new system this year, right? So operationally, pre-snap, understanding what's going on, from everything I've heard up in Minnesota, that's not the question with J.J. McCarthy at all, right? It's going to be accuracy. It's going to be execution post-snap. And you can affect all that as a defense. If you're Montez Sweat, that's got to be your goal. You need to go to bed every single night, you know, this week and leading up to Monday, and just be thinking about how can I speed up this rookie quarterback, even if I don't get there. But yeah, hopefully you also get there and sack him a couple times. But how do you speed everything up, make life harder for J.J. McCarthy in what will hopefully be a hostile environment here in his hometown?
Love it, Adam. We are happy to have you back on again this year. We are looking forward to Fridays with you for sure.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, same here. Can't wait. Let's get into this thing, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah, and I know you had some ideas, so we got to talk offline about that, because I want to make Adam Hoge stretch his wings.
Yeah. Well, the good news is the days where Grody's not with you, he's with me sitting next to me at Hallis Hall, so we can, you know, we can scheme out some things too.
I love scheming. I love a good scheme. I'm looking forward to it all. Adam Hoge, great to have you on the show again. Of course, the Hoge and Johns podcast you can listen to on CHGO. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
That was Adam Hoge, and we want to remind you that right now, you can head out to West Loop. Join the Score at Wild Fork today. Wild Fork, where you can meet Mully from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the West Loop location on South Halsted. There's a food truck on site. Do you not have lunch plans? Did you not pack your lunch today? Wild Fork's got you. Plus an in-store scavenger hunt for a chance to win a $150 Wild Fork gift card. That's today with Mully from 11 to 1 at the Wild Fork in West Loop. You looked at me like you thought about food, Marshall.
Well, I thought about that scavenger hunt. I'm just trying to navigate that, spark that whole hide-and-go-seek conversation we had. And yeah, no, I need to play games. I need to play games.
Jason Leisure started texting us with the most unhinged jokes
fault.
After that. Yeah. He's like, did you plan an abandoned nuclear power plant?
Probably. Who knows?
He was like, did you plan a scrap metal yard?
My parents did not know where I was at all times.
Jason was cracking me up.
It's one of the advantages of being the oldest of three. At some point, they just forget about you and let you kind of do your thing.
Marshall was apparently playing hide-and-go-seek in abandoned buildings, and that's what was the inspired statement after the Wild Fork scavenger hunt.
Yeah, it was good times. It was good times. I regret nothing.
Next, a man who I also doesn't think regret much either, and he takes some risks. Joe Ostrowski joins us next to get your weekend and wagertainment ready. That's with Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.